there, it's Tracy Tully, and you're listening to Tracy Tully Talks at bbsradio.com, the place to be right now, streaming live with another 60 minutes of thought-provoking topics, sharing with you conversations that are relevant today, tomorrow, and in the future. Join me each week on Thursday mornings at 10 a.m. Australian time, AEST, 5 p.m. Wednesday PT, hello Los Angeles. If you missed the live show, jump onto your favorite podcasting platform and you'll find me on Tracy Tully Talks. We do have some adult language, so if you have some little ones around, pop on your earphones. Hello and welcome to another episode of Tracy Tully Talks. And my name's Tracy. You wouldn't believe it, would you? My guest in our studio today is Dee Faith. And Dee Faith hails from New South Wales in a place called Newcastle in Australia. So today I promise you lots of fun and fanfare with Dee. Now I'm going to just tell you a little bit about Dee. Dee is a real mosher. So you're going to hear today a lot of Aussie slang, and I know our listeners come from all over the world, so bear with us and we'll try and explain it as we go on. She's a fair dinkum gal, and she has done a degree in communications, and that is with drama and journalism. She's a host of The Midi Show, which is a podcast. She's an entertainer and comedian, and she's also the author of a book called The Dickhead List, and I love the sound of that book. Hello, Dee, and welcome to our show.
Tracy Tully, thank you for having me.
Great to see you.
You're a breath of fresh air. I remember the first time I met you in Queensland, and you were so gracious and kind enough to give me a lift for about an hour to get to the airport to get a plane home. Yeah. So I'm forever indebted to you.
That's my pleasure. And I know what it's like to be hitchhiking from the Gold Coast to Brisbane with all your suitcases and luggage. No good.
No good at all. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's good. And it's lovely to hear from you today. And I know that you've had your ear to the US elections. Tell us a little bit about what's going on in your world.
So the US elections, I mean, if you're talking about a binary opposition between good versus evil and new world versus old world and deep state thinking and new world thinking and all the rest of it, this is the timeline. We are on track for something super exciting.
I think so. Did you have a good show last night?
We had a good show. So I had a special guest. We had Eva Milton come in from, she's a local politician here in Newcastle. And we're going to air the Midi Show, that episode, later on today. I've just got some editing to do because that's what you do when you've got your own show. Super exciting to see what the outcome is. I think there's a lot of political play and strategizing that's working around this at the moment. And I mean, let's just sit back.
Yeah.
Enjoy the show, see what unfolds.
That's right.
I mean, there's predictions and there's theories and there's all sorts of things that are floating around. And I mean, you know, if at some point, if it looks like a rat, smells like a rat and is a rat, then, you know, probably got to call it a little bit of ratage. But I think everything happens for a reason. And I think the universe is just going to put a little finger in, you know, give them all a little nudge.
In a way, hey, stirring the pot.
Stirring the pot. And we're all players, so, you know, we're all chosen to be alive at this time for a reason, so.
Yeah, that's right. And we've just gone through our own elections, which was very quiet and subdued.
So in Queensland, it went really under the radar.
Yeah, very, very much so. So, and we still can't get across the border. I'm supposed to be in Sydney on the 14th, and I'm devastated that I'm not allowed through. And my sister tells me if I have an agricultural license, I can get across. So I said, give me some racehorses. I'll take them to Sydney to race. But no, not going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, let's talk about agriculture for a start, because farmers at the moment are reaching out for people to pick the fruit. If we're not keeping the fruit picked and it's not going to shops and they're not being bought, then, you know, this is not so much a war about China and communism and all the rest of it. There's going to be a food and water war. Do we get our produce and our next meal from? So backpackers aren't coming to Australia, of course, because of COVID. Australians don't want to work because they're all on JobKeeper. So, you know, like at what point, I know that there are some farmers and some agriculturalists at the moment that are actually upping their wages to about $3,000 a week just to get some people to their farms to pick the fruit that goes to Cotties.
Yeah.
To make the cordial that I like best.
Well, it's interesting because my sister's an artificial inseminator and she's a racehorse trainer and breeder as well as a cattle breeder. She does a whole lot of other things. She's a freeze brander and race horses, etc. And so what she does is she offers a service to the dairy people, farmers in and around her area here. And she's in what's called the salad bowl area. And so she goes and milks for free while they have some time off. Because as you can imagine how intense it is, dairy farming, and how difficult it is to get food on the table at the moment with in Australia because of the problems with the dairy industry. So she's called me up on the phone. She said, "Tracy, I need help. You've got to come with me. We've got 3 a.m. starts. We're milking." I said, "She's on. Let's go." So next week we're milking. And I think it's a really generous idea, but you are so right. Our agriculture is in dire straits and we really do have to do something about it.
Yeah, I mean, even if you finish school and you've got like that gap year between now and uni, or you're looking at getting some money so you can buy a car or all of those sorts of things, prime opportunity.
Absolutely. And it's a really good world to live in for a while. I know I did asparagus cutting and I actually did bull catching with my sister up in the Territory too, which was bags of fun and lots of this stuff.
You went bull catching. There's danger money in that.
Yeah. It's a really interesting world. When my sister ran, she said, "Oh, I need to work." I was up in the Territory, the top end of Queensland. And I said, "Yeah, this is all that's available up here. If you want to jump on a bus or car or drive up or whatever, come on up." And she did. And there we were in a bull catcher and off we went with the truck. And we did.
I mean, bull catching's not for the faint-hearted, really. I mean, that's why in Spain they have a red flag, surely.
Absolutely, yeah. It's one of those things when you're standing on a beast and it's, you know, a bull, and a bull hasn't seen a human before, and you know, the rise and fall of their body, and you're very vulnerable. You really, really know you're alive, and you could be just flicked off like a fly. But that's the world we lived in at that stage in our lives. Now it's racehorses, so and of course her cattle. So yeah, she lives a wonderful life, but it's a really hard, tough life with very, very long hours. So it is an issue here. Now, Dee, I really want to hear more about your book, The Dickhead List. Tell me.
So The Dickhead List is something that I wrote 2 years ago. So this is the book. It's a classic. And you know what? In all being said and told, if I'd realised that Facebook was as heavily monitored as what it is, as it's come to light that it is, I probably would have called it How to Be the Best Person You Can Be on the Planet. I thought this was catchier. And the premise to the whole book is about online dating. It's about, you know, how you brand yourself and how you want to portray yourself to the wider world. It's also about keeping yourself safe. It's about keeping your children safe. The reason why I wrote the book is because I was ripped off a lot of money by a man who was a very convincing con artist, hence why I'm still single.
Got burnt.
But my story is not unusual. This is a really common element that happens. I mean, there was a movie on, a series on Netflix called Dirty John. Very, very same, different. You hear of women and men all the time being conned by people and getting money out of them, all in the sake of love. And, you know, at the time we were going to get married and yada, 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 but it's just all talk. So I honestly am a believer that you have one mouth for a reason, two ears for a reason, your eyes to see all.
Yeah. Once bitten, twice shy, hey?
Once bitten, twice shy. So I'm actually, this book was written pre-COVID, but at the moment in the US, this book is just flying off the shelves. Like, I sold 75 copies last month alone. So maybe because of COVID, there is a lot of online dating going on.
Yeah.
And people aren't really sure what they do. It's not they can go out and meet people at a bar anymore. So online dating is a really accessible way to meet people. And even if you aren't online dating, I'm actually physically not online dating at the moment, but my Facebook page may as well be Tinder. The amount of friend requests that I'm getting at the moment is literally unbelievable. So if I'm not actively looking for someone to be in my life at the moment. And I guess when you're not looking, that's when they show up. So who knows? But I'm actually going to write another book. I'm in the midst of writing another book. I'm thinking about calling it Body on the Line.
Oh, tell me more about that.
No, so I think there's been a bit of a fundamental shift with COVID.
Yes.
I think the way that we actually can meet now, and not even talking about the 1.5, but just the whole way that we kind of are really, look, I don't know for the most part, but I think generally people are lonely.
Yeah.
They're not in a relationship. You kind of need to be validated because you're at home by yourself, and God forbid if you're wearing a mask, no one wants to share your germs. So no. I just think at this time we're reaching out, and I think your level of communication has got to be a little bit higher than the standard that we have been used to. And as much as pictures do tell 1,000 words, sometimes you can leave that little picture at home.
Oh, I can't wait.
It's not necessary. Okay. Sometimes the unwrapping of the package is more exciting than when you get an upfront gift.
Oh, that's right. That's right. And they always say it's the thought that matters too, isn't it?
It is the thought that matters. And roses don't go far. Like, they even have rose emojis.
Yes. Yeah.
So, the dickhead list is one of those things. I sort of went through it. I was going to do a booklet and a couple of other things, and life got on the way. But I'm actually going, this is actually a really valuable book. It's a good read. There's some great tips in it. I'm going to be focusing on more of this in the future. We've just sort of had a bit of a sidestep with COVID because, as you know, with all the pubs and the restrictions on people going to pubs and whatnot, live music's really taken a hit.
Yeah.
So obviously festivals are not happening. We don't have, you know, just like the people that make your kebabs. Like, there's a whole industry. You've got your roadies. It's like, it's sort of gone dead in the water. So what we did here was we started up the MIDI show, and the MIDI show was a podcast, basically, which is showcasing musicians. So, you know, you play your song, we talk about COVID, we talk about life in general, and, you know, It's a really all-inclusive way where you can still reach music. And right now, more than ever, we need to support our local artists and local business. And if, you know, like this, I mean, the whole COVID debacle, worst case scenario, borders never open again. We actually really do need to look after what's happening in our own backyard.
Yeah, we do.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I'm the eternal optimist that thinks the whole world's going to open up soon. There's going to be a change of the guard and the rivers are going to run free.
Yeah, we all want to think like that, don't we? We're conditioned to think that, but we have to accept that this is it. And who even knows what it's going to be like in 2 months' time?
We don't even know what it's going to be like tomorrow. I mean, this next sort of, like, as of last night at 9, sort of 8:30 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, Eastern Daylight Saving Time, there was 3 days before there was an outcome with the US election, which, you know, for all the voting fraud and all these other sorts of rumours that are spreading around town at the moment like wildfire, you know, it's nothing short of controversial to start with. I mean, even be talking about it is like putting your neck on the line.
Isn't it? Are we lucky?
Not talking out loud. And, you know, the way that this has taken years. It's genius, really, if you think about it. But, you know, you've got Google, you've got Facebook, you've got Twitter, you've got Instagram, you've got LinkedIn, you've got all these sorts of Vimeo, you've got all these sorts of platforms that are being heavily monitored at the moment, Zoom being another thing. I mean, House Party got shut down at the beginning of the year because it wasn't part of the conglomerate. House Party got a lot of people really feeling optimistic about life, but they took that down in a heartbeat. So, I mean, the amount of control that's happening at the moment is always going to force some gaps.
Absolutely. And it really, the beauty of BBS Radio, the station you're on right now, the beauty of that is it allows you to have that, what I call rigorous dialogue, that open and really honest, raw conversation. And I knew you'd love, being on this channel for that very reason, because there's not enough of that. And I always say that we live in a democracy run by socialism, and we certainly do in this state, and it's a real worry. And I see it sort of squeezing a little bit tighter each month. And it is a problem because, we have freedom of speech for a reason. We live in a democracy for a reason. And the beauty is even your book And I did have that thought when I saw the title. I thought, oh, I wonder how your sales are going on Facebook with that. Because
yeah, Facebook very... don't like it. But Facebook doesn't like anyone who can critically think either.
Well, that's right. That's right. Yes.
Imagine being able to have your own opinion and formulate it from some sort of educated background.
From a bit of intellect.
Indoctrinated, I should say, because we are all heavily indoctrinated. Yes. However, I do also believe that, you know, critical thinking is for the minority.
Yeah.
And it's the critical thinkers that are going to be the ones that help bring us all forward because...
Yeah, yeah.
Otherwise, we're all sort of fed by the beast and we rely on the beast and no one wants to bite the hand that feeds them.
No, it's interesting because I don't know if you've seen or heard of my book. My book's called Fearless, Buckle Up, Build Resilience. And you might have heard about that at the Gold Coast. But it's literally unlocking the door and opening the door for the first time in terms of outing the corruption in the Queensland education system and the Public Service Act. And the journalist said to me, oh, you're just too hot. You're just too hot to touch. I said, I know. Thank you.
No, you're too volatile, Tracy Tully.
Yeah, you know, you're just too hot. And I said, isn't that a shame? That's a real shame. And another journalist from down south contacted me and said, would you be our media spokesperson representing their organisation, massive organisation, national organisation? And I said, yeah, I'm honoured. Yep, no problems. I can do that now. Boom, we're on. And I did stop and think, well, why isn't anyone else putting their hand up? And I did. The journos told me, quite frankly, nobody. They can't get one single person to speak. And that's across the whole of Australia. The whole of Australia. And all I talk about is a Public Service Act that was brought in by the Bligh administration that is really corrupt and needs to change. And I've got it in my book. I've actually got a page there saying that I asked for the changes are really simple. One simple change is that anyone in Queensland under the Public Service Act can make an allegation against anyone, a false allegation with zero evidence, not a signed stat deck, nothing, and it's upheld. How good is that? Yeah, that's how dangerous our act is. And so what they use it as is a whipping tool. Well, more as an exit tool, a disappearing tool. So we don't even have to be in China, do we? Disappear very quickly, the Public Service Act here in Queensland. So I wrote in my book that I did a call for class action as well for anyone who'd been who'd suffered for this sort of thing. But the beauty is that it must have been heard somewhere because in the last parliamentary session before caretaker mode for elections, they changed it. They started the changes. So I was really excited. So I thought, well, someone does listen. So if anyone's listening out there and you feel your wings are clipped and you can't speak, you really need to. So the likes of yourself are very, very important. You're extremely important person to hear because you call it. You call it for what it is and you say it like it is as it should be. Hmm.
As it is. And from the right intention, I think that's the thing. Like if your intention is to, you know, teach or just get the word out, and I'm unapologetic.
Yeah,
unapologetic, too. As you are. That was what I was so attracted to you to start with. Like even the way you danced on stage, it was like that girl. She got it. She's not holding back. No opinion of anyone in the whole room is going to affect this lady.
Zero tolerance of bullshit. Absolutely
zero tolerance. And I think that's the beautiful thing about getting a bit older.
It is,
as well.
Isn't it?
I really feel like I've found my feet. I'm going to be 48 in April. And I know that's still young really on the planet. But when I was a young girl, I thought 48 was old. And I only feel like now I've actually kind of got a grasp on what I'm here for and what my purpose is for. And to be unapologetic and to not be filtered. And I'm meaning across the board from, you know, Facebook filters of the whole bunny ear thing, the whole nose thing. Like, sweetheart, you do not look like that. I'm sitting across the road from you.
I love unfiltered. I do unfiltered. That's me.
Unfiltered, I mean, you know, like with a lot of our children, like from the Bratz dolls, like I've got teenage daughters and they've been groomed to look a certain way and they're on Instagram to appear a certain way. They've got these up the bum swimmers because that's the way that they're, you know, the whole thing is so grossly manufactured and we've all been in it because then there's peer group pressure and then you want to look better than the Joneses and all the rest of it. So I'm bringing real back. You're bringing real back. We just got to get on with it.
Absolutely. We need more of us, don't we? Us unfiltereds.
Aren't they unfiltered? Because otherwise, because what happens is, you know, your thirst for likes or your thirst for recognition or your thirst for whatever it is dependent on other people, which is dangerous because then you get mental illness like depression, anxiety. You don't know who you are. Like you overeat, you binge eat, you go and, you know, drink copious amounts of alcohol, you do ridiculous dumb drugs or whatever it is that your coping mechanism is. You know, same here. A lot of people are actually online for that 2 second buzz when someone swipes right at them and says hello. And then it stops and it keeps going on and on and on. It's just like, it's like eating sugar.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
Keep high going. So there comes a real validity in time where you stop and take stock and spend some time with yourself, because that's where the real growth starts. I think once you've kind of got your head around that, and it's a daily thing like washing your teeth, brushing your teeth, but I've started now in the morning saying, you know what, I actually do love and cherish myself. Like, let's go. You've got this vessel, honey. I know you're 5'2", you want to be 6'2", but you're not. You're just going to have to roll with it.
I'm tall, and you know, the only good thing about it is that I can reach high shelves. Yeah, really. You end up stooping, and or you can't get. Oh, I have a lot of clothes with short sleeves.
You're always cuffing.
Yeah, I've always got to roll my sleeves up because my arms are too long. I can never get a pair of gloves that fit me. My fingers are too long. My feet are long, but both my kids' feet are way bigger than mine.
Yeah.
Good grip on the world. So tell our listeners, lovely lady, tell our listeners all about what you do.
Well, professionally, I'm a property valuer, so I spend a lot of time reading the market. I work for the banks.
Yeah.
So I've noticed a lot of the criteria at the banks are being changed because in light of COVID, a lot of our commentary is around, you know, the market's uncertain, it's this and that, but the restrictions that are coming in with lending at the moment. I mean, Australia, you don't even actually have to be an Australian citizen to buy property in Australia at the moment.
Yeah.
You've been going on for years. For about the last 36 months, it's been prevalent. It's been a real worry. And when you look at like RP data maps, where you actually see what's for sale in the last sort of 6, 12, 18 months, there's a lot of China-owned properties that are in Australia at the moment, which is alarming.
Yes.
I've also seen a lot of the banks at the moment that their criteria is sharpening up, because what happened once upon a time is you used to compare a house. It was either better than or worse than the one, and you called it. So now it's like, I'm not going to call it unless you've seen the title certificate. I'm not going to call it unless I've seen the covenants. I'm not going to call it unless I've seen any restrictions that can actually set this property back, so then I become liable. And the other thing is, be careful who your bank is and who their allies are. So have a think about it. Genworth, for starters. Genworth is a Chinese-owned bank.
Mm-hmm.
Genworth is the company that you go to when your banks can't get you enough money for you to get over the line, so you need to pay insurance. That insurance money is Genworth money. So our actual money is going straight offshore.
Ooh, how did
Genworth
that...
is owned by China. So do some research on the banks, of which bank and where where the highest peg lies. Who owns what bank?
Ooh.
I'm not going to go through which banks I wouldn't go through, but if there's a link, because there's so much liability in that, but I really do want people to take the time, and if they need to pay for Genworth, I would reconsider that loan at the moment. I'll tell you why I would like you to reconsider that loan. It's because, let's just say this COVID thing does continue for a little bit longer and you are out of work and then you cannot repay your loans. I am hesitant to think that if you can't pay your loans and yet your house is owned by a Chinese bank, do they just need to call a locksmith? So let's be really, really careful about what soil is under our feet.
I love it. Oh, I love it. And it's so really good.
I do that during the day and I see a lot of people, and what's happening, I'd say about 95% of our work, or maybe not that, that's probably a bit much, but it's a lot of refinancing. So people aren't working, they've put a freeze on their loan or whatever, and they've just asked for maybe 6 months reprieve, but they're also getting out 50 grand as a refinance so they can live for 6 months. Yeah. But it's not funny money. This is money not only have you borrowed, but you're paying interest already, and then you've got to pay interest on that money. So I just really see a lot of people getting themselves into some financial difficulty in the next, you know, 6 to 8 months. And that's not even with COVID as thrown into the mix.
No.
So, it's a bit tricky.
It's very, very real, isn't it? I said to our son about, 4 or 5 months ago, and once we got into COVID, he was working for the government, and I said, mate, get out and get a permanent position, because the government here does, I don't know about New South Wales, all contracts, you know, it's all contract. Yeah. There's no stability in any way or form. And of course, as you can imagine, he was working for biosecurity, so people were just dropping off like fires and disappearing under the PSA. Just dropping off, contracts finished, gone. And our son said, Mum, this is not good what I'm seeing. And he was picking up all the extra work and more work and more work. I said, mate, government, get out. Get out. Get a job that's permanent, that you've got some relative safety there, and that you're not drawn into this this issue. And so he did, thankfully. He listened to his mama and did it. Boom.
Well, it's a worry, because the whole idea is to have as many people as you can on government benefits, because you're relying on the benefit. You're lucky enough to be able to live in a place that you can pay rent. Like, there's not really that much money left over for food, clothes, or luxuries. And I mean, let's face it, mostly demographically speaking, that's cigarettes and alcohol.
Yeah.
You haven't even got to Tuesday and you've run out of money.
Correct, especially with the cigarettes and alcohol. I suppose that was the biggest disappointment for me, was seeing the pubs, the drive-throughs left open, through COVID. I just thought that was a bit sad, really sad.
You knew the bottle shops were an essential service, hey?
Yeah, essential
service. The things you learn.
I know. A sad, sad story, isn't it? That and AFL, of course, in Queensland, the essential service too.
And I mean, I know you've got the horse behind you and you are part of the horse industry, but I mean, racing hasn't stopped. Greyhounds haven't stopped. Think about it, like not even 18 months ago, there was a whole debacle about greyhound racing and how, you know, that industry was dubious.
And it was dubious, and
still continues to flourish.
Yeah, that's right. And there's a lot that's dubious in the racing industry too. Don't get me started. Luckily, Musk is not here. But we're very, very vocal in terms of our standards are really, really high, really high, as they should be when you have the responsibility of a beautiful, beautiful, trusting animal. And I just went down the other night to help and... they all come running up to the fence. These are racehorses, like primed to go the next day, and they're running up, and they're just beautiful. And there's no reason not to be like that. There's absolutely no reason to be. And so these industries need a bomb, and the Queensland racing industry needs a massive, massive overhaul. And we're waiting. We're waiting for it. I think how long that could take, probably another 2 decades, perhaps, but it's dangerous. Our tracks are dangerous. The standard of our tracks in terms of animal health and jockey health is frightening, absolutely frightening. And we can do much better for the money that's sunk into the industry and the money that the government gets back from the industry from betting. It's not good enough.
Yeah. I mean, you know, what are they pooling? Are they pooling all that money so that, you know, that we all get some sort of minimum wage? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, where is all this money going? There are potholes in the road everywhere around where I live that's certainly not going into infrastructure.
It's not. I think it's going into the politicians' retirement funds. They're very big retirement funds. So that's another thing that's a bit of a worry. But we won't go there, I suppose. I love this idea of your book. And have you got some tips for our listeners? Because I'm sure they would love some tips from your book?
Well, there's so many really simple ones. The first one I do is if they've only got one photo, I don't even talk to them, but on the off chance I have, I get them to send me a photo of them straight away, and I'll get them to draw like a symbol on their shoulder, or I'll get them to wear a white hat, or I'll get them to wear something so I know that they're a real person from the get-go.
Yeah.
You'd be amazed at how many fake profiles there are. And especially for the guys, the chicks, like the Russian chicks and all that sort of stuff, there is click per pay responses. So each time a lady sends you a text, that lady gets money.
Oh, we're in the wrong
conversation going, because eventually, you know, there's going to be a photo sent or whatever. And where do you think those photos are sent? They're all on the dark web. They're all making money off your stuff. So whatever you do, don't send pics of yourself. It's unnecessary for starters. I'm really, really self-conscious about your kids being involved. Even on Facebook, don't put profiles of your kids in your profile pic. Like, no one needs to know that you've got kids. They don't. No one needs to know. And you can put that in the bio. You can say, you know, got two kids this age and that age. They're off limits. You know, like, just because you think you know someone or you've got 10 common friends or whatever, that's not the precipice for being friends with someone.
Absolutely not. No.
No. So there's some really sort of, I've got some stuff on my website, which is dfaith.com. If you go under the dickhead list, there's some stuff on there, which I'll update and everything, but the next book, because this book was written almost 2 years ago now, like, and I guess one of the things with writing a book is you get a lot off your chest and it doesn't serve you anymore. You get to a point where your own personal story doesn't serve you anymore, right? Yeah. But there's still enough gold in here for so many other people to really get some nuggets out of here. I think what happens is once you've actually written something on paper and you've put it out there and you've made yourself vulnerable and all the rest of it. I mean, I lost 8 kilos writing this book, just kind of letting go.
Urge.
I think each time that, and there's so much magic with the power of the pen to the paper. There actually is. Even if you write lists, if you write a list and you get them through to the day, there is so much power in that. So the next book is going to be less about this guy, Jack, who ripped me off $100,000.
Yeah, Jack. Is Jack his real name?
Yeah, no, his real name's Darren Christensen.
Watch out, Daz.
Watch out, Dazza. Watch out, Dazza. But, you know, he knows that he's done it. It's not like he's oblivious to what's happened. Like, and he goes around town. He literally still stalks me. He's lived down the road from me for the last 6 months. Just next level. But I'm really proud of the fact that there's a book written about him. What narcissists really thrive on. Recognition. Right. It doesn't matter where it comes from. So, yeah, Jack has definitely, he's not in my radar anymore, Jack.
No, that's good.
So the next book, and I think, you know, like if you knew someone 5 years ago, they're not the same person they are now. If you knew someone even before COVID, I think COVID has fundamentally shifted a lot of the paradigms that are going on in the planet at the moment. All of us.
My word, it has. And would you be as bold as to say, and some of it's in a good way?
Absolutely. I mean, it had to be done. The skies are blue, the oceans are green, I feel like there's a real rejuvenation going on in the planet. And I think time will tell and, you know, the eternal optimist in all of us wants the best outcome. I mean, none of us want to be in prison. None of us want to not be able to go to another country unless you're injected with a vaccine and you cannot leave the country. And more so that if you don't have a job, if you have a job and you don't get the vaccine, then you don't get paid. I mean, this kind of control is just not on. Seriously, you don't get jabbed, you don't get paid, you don't leave the country, you don't have a passport. Sorry, darling, you need to have a needle.
Yeah, interesting, isn't it?
I mean, even if you talk about the highest of the tinfoil hats and the highest degree of what we can do to fact that, you know, they're thinking of DNA changing the human body through this vaccine. I mean, that makes us part human, part robot. Really? I know we all get Botox from time to time and we all want to be the best version of ourselves and yada, yada, yada. But like, I like a good line.
Well, I've just been to the doctor and had some sun cancers burnt off. I would have rather Botox than that, but anyway.
Yeah. So it's a worry, and I'm not an anti-vaxxer by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm certainly anti-Gates vaccine.
Yeah. You want to, no different from that. Yeah. And the thing is,
I don't even eat genetically modified butter.
No, blame you. No, you're gonna have to do the real deal.
Real deal. Support local. Support our farmers.
I'll be drinking milk straight from the vat next week, and I'll love it with cream. Oh.
It's so thick and creamy, and it's. Is it pasteurised or unpasteurised when it's straight from the udder?
No, unpasteurised, but once it goes into it.
Yeah, because then they boil it and whatnot, don't they?
Yes, they mix it, great big vats, and they mix it. And
yeah.
Beautiful industry. It's just such a sad industry that the government hasn't supported it. And, they literally sold it out in Tasmania to Chinese, and there's no dairy industry there at all. Yeah. So it doesn't take long to decimate.
Yeah, and you know, the whole big company sort of ideology and all the farmers that, you know, I mean, you look at it, I don't often shop at Coles and Woolies, but when I do, I've noticed the products that I used to like aren't on the shelves anymore, and I've also noticed that the products that there are to choose from are all like Coles branded or Woolies branded or Safeway branded or... I don't know, it's different packaging, but I don't see old Bobby Joe from down the road with his, you know, cereal anymore.
No. They can't.
And when they took Holden out of Australia, whether you like cars or not, our manufacturing industry is all offshore. We've been hamstrung. We've done it ourselves. Well, thanks to the government. But, you know, like Trevor down the road, he's a pretty good mechanic. Look, what's he doing now? He's down the bar at 12 o'clock having a drink, 1.5 metres away from his mate, Barry, because they can't go and work down at the Holden shop anymore because they don't know how to spin a tool because it's all in China.
Yeah, real worry, isn't it?
It's a real worry. I mean, all of our manufacturing, we are really strong as a manufacturing company, and I mean, country and farming. I mean, God, we've got all the best minerals on the planet.
We certainly do have. We certainly do have, and that's another topic, isn't it, altogether? Because we've currently got issues here, right outside my door, about a coal company it was political. It's not allowed to continue. Yet another coal company that has links to someone high up, it can go. It got the green light, but not this one down here. Very, very sad. So
I was involved. There's a whole lot of that going on.
Oh, just a heap, you know. It's funny because
I'm sure Wagyu steak was involved, I'm sure.
That's some of the best champagne, I'm sure. Maybe too much. But it was interesting because I was invited to go to court because I happened to live next to this coal mine. And and to just say exactly what it was I experienced in the time I lived there, and whether or not it, you know, did really affect me. Of course, it didn't. And this mine allowed me to drive all over it. I had my nose in everything before I went to court, because I insisted that. I said, I want to know everything about this place. And they were just, yeah, come on in. This is really good. But what people were trying to make me say. It was unbelievable, absolutely unbelievable. And I don't know if you know, but I've got a truck license. You probably expect I would have.
Yeah, of course you've got a truck license.
I drive like yes, four ball. Full out.
I go through all 15 gears.
Yeah. But I one of the questions this greeny group actually was trying to smash my career while I was on the stand. And they were up me for the rent about how dangerous it was on the roads with the mines truck. And I'm going, no, it's not. I drive really early in the morning and I drive really late at night. And I said, those trucks are perfect. They are absolutely perfect. I can get around them, no problems. You know, and they could be triples and I still get around them, no problems. Anyway, they're arguing with me and arguing with me and arguing. And in the courtroom were a heap of miners. you know, because they're really, really anxious about their jobs and their livelihoods, their mortgages, everything. Anyway, this person would not leave me alone about these trucks, and they really thought they had me, and I knew where they were going. I just, you know, played with them, literally. and finally said, "And what would you know anyway?" And the whole courtroom went silent, and I let it go silent for a couple of minutes, and then I said, "Oh, I'm a truck driver. I've got a truck license." And with that, the noise, you can imagine it. In the courtroom, all these miles go, "Yeah!" And I just looked at this person with a "bring it on, what's next?" No.
Yeah, got nothing.
And it was wrong in every way, because they're playing with people's livelihoods about something they did not know about. And I get pretty upset about that.
Mm. Yeah, and that's the thing. And I think with everything in life, if you're going to make a garment, you at least know how to sew it together yourself before you can start taking it apart again.
Yeah, that's right. It's like that, isn't it? You know, I won't go on about horse racing because this week probably isn't the best week for it being a Melbourne Cup, and a horse lost their life afterwards, unfortunately. But, you know, we really do need to be not influenced. We really need to do our own research and understand, know what's going on. And the best thing we can do is do that at our education level for our kids. Teach them how to do the research. Teach them how to form an opinion. Teach them to ask questions and not just take the fake news that someone gives them who really doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah. So, and more than that, so the Google searches, like we used to, it's natural terminology, like James Hardy, like asbestos was a thing that killed us all in the 50s and the 60s, right? So what's happening now is our sources of information, whether it be Google, it's so filtered. There's so much control over what you're actually even reading to start with. I mean, go to a library, have a look in a book.
Absolutely, a history. Because the digital damage is real, is real.
It is real. It is so filtered. It is so, like, you read what you want to hear. I mean, if you even go back to Joan Rivers, I mean, Joan Rivers, a week before she died on the surgery table because she had a sore throat, she spoke up and a journalist just flippantly said to her, "Do you think we're ever going to have a gay president in our time?" And she's like, "Oh, darling, we already have one in Obama." And you know that Michelle Michael is a tran. A week later, she's gone, but you can't even find that on the internet anymore. YouTube's removed it. So YouTube, Google, Facebook, Instagram, they're all owned by China at some point, just like Genworth. So the information, and I'm so passionate about critical thinking and getting some information from sources that aren't actually spoon-fed for you, because we've been trained and indoctrinated to go to Google to find out information. The best search engine at the moment that is not going to be monitored on such a high level is Brave.
Yeah.
So Brave is a really good one. And there's also another one called Dot Dot, which are really powerful search engines where, I mean, let's put it this way. We are all data collecting entities. The more information they have on you as an individual, the more they can sell you stuff on, like, what clothes you like, what shoes you like. Like, I'm sure there's a point that if you think about something, it'll come up on your sponsored ads, right? Yeah. I'm just saying those sorts of criteria and the control that they've got that much data on you that can actually predict what you're going to get next, that sort of stuff's a worry. So I think the more you can remove yourself from the digital footprint, which is ironic because Zoom is part of it as well.
Absolutely.
So we're all being heavily monitored, and you think about it. We get online and on camera with a camera that we think we're projecting ourselves out onto. The iCloud is the same camera looking straight back at us.
Correct.
So Siri, Alexa, oh, Google, can you play this favourite song for me? Oh, Google, I don't know what to play right now. Alexa, have you got something we can do? Like, can you imagine being in the control room listening to all these voices? It'll be like God being omnipotent, except for it's the wrong God.
It is a real worry. And I think we have to take it for what it is, don't we? We really do have to take it for what it is in the real world. And I suppose it's people like us, the unfiltereds, that can. And we need more of us unfiltereds that can roll with it.
You've got to place your own filter on yourself at some point. But I also think that to unfilter yourself. You're putting your, you are, we talked about it, you're putting your neck on the line. But like right now, will the real Slim Shady please stand up?
Well, I put my neck on the line 10 years ago and, you know, it had its consequences well and true. But, you know, now it's time for me to play. It was interesting because I was at a meeting early this year and a fellow decided to threaten me. So don't you go all political. And I thought, oh, mate.
There's an invitation.
Beautiful. I leaned across the table to him. I said, mate, I don't work in the government anymore. I said, don't tell me what to do.
I can do what I want to do. And happened to me, I'm thinking, and like, am I going to end up in the political arena? It's something that's never been on my radar, but I just think there needs to be truth speakers out there.
Of course there does,
That aren't influenced by ridiculous amounts of money that, you know, starts with Y and ends in N.
Yes, that's right, I play in it. I play in the mud and I like it and I'm very open and honest about it. And with my personality, either people will like me or they won't. It's literally 50-50.
Yep.
I don't care. I quite like that. Probably the less people like it, the better. But it doesn't worry me because I don't value myself in accordance with that. I value my experiences, what I see, what I feel. I see out west, you know, I'm a bush girl, and I see the number of international owners of land that have no stock on them, have no one running them, and they're picking up carbon credits to pay for them. They're getting paid by our government to just have the land out there. And I just shake my head and I just think, well, we're really unplugged, aren't we? We don't know what's going on.
And we're talking about hundreds of thousands of hectares here. We're not just talking like acres, like a little plot of land with a dam. We're talking about huge parcels of land.
Yeah, that's
like
correct.
Significant, like, you know, something that would be the size of Tasmania. We're talking about significant parcels of land. And if you think about it, the water courses that are running through these.
They own them.
All you got to do is put a wall there and a wall there. No more water.
Well, they can do anything they want, actually. It's amazing who you see out in some of those never-ending tracts of land. We've seen some interesting black vans with security guards with machine guns pop out in bloody nowhere, and I mean nowhere. What are you doing?
Take
here?
A leak.
Feeling very vulnerable on your motorbike? What are you doing here? And you know, there's these big tanks in the middle of nowhere on your property and, like, guns and stuff with black windows. And who are you burying?
Never to be seen again. I mean, you know, we are the wild, wild outback in Australia, and there are so many, you know, you've got the population around the outside and the rest of it's fair game.
It is, it's fair game. I worked for Air Surveillance, Coast Watch Patrol, for a while up in the Gulf of Carpentaria in Queensland. And one of our jobs was to count the number of illegal landings on the beaches coming in from overseas. And there was a lot.
How many? Like what sort of numbers?
Enough to absolutely worry you. And we used to have to report back to Canberra, and we had a telex machine those days. We had these massive cameras and they had these big bubble windows, so you'd hang out under the plane and take photos and we'd fly at 300 feet. It was a top job. But what you saw was not, it was scary because you saw what was happening, what no one else could know about. And the number of illegal landings coming in, those fresh tracks on the sand, are a huge worry. And, you know, I won't go into it, but it was a fascinating world for me.
Just another thing.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, you featured on the ABC documentary with Sean McAuliffe. Is that how you pronounce his name?
Yeah, Sean McAuliffe.
Yeah, tell us about
him. He's great. So with Sean McAuliffe, I did a Cancer Council Foundation talk at the Newcastle Library. It was pretty much this time last year, and to raise funds for cancer awareness, because I've had a beautiful friend die of cancer. We've all know someone who's died of cancer. So just did this comedy act this one time, and it didn't take long to do. But what happened was the producer rang up the library and said, we really want a funny chick to go on the show with Sean McAuliffe. So he it was all good to go. And then I rounded up a whole lot of my friends and it aired. It was meant to air in April, but it only aired in June. And it's called On the Source. And it's actually really quite a heavy hitting topic about alcoholism and the rising drinking and alcoholism for women. You know, because we earn our own money, quite a lot of us are single, marriages have fallen apart and all the rest of it. So Sean McAuliffe is a really down to earth guy. The reason he did the documentary is because he lost his sister-in-law to alcoholism and was trying to, you know, talk about it to his children, that even though alcohol is a legal drug, it's with tobacco is one of the most dangerous substances on the planet. Alcohol, when you're drunk, it is actually poison. You are actually killing brain cells. So, I mean, I really like the way that Sean McAuliffe did this documentary. It was a three-part series. I'm on two of the parts of this series. He brought us out in a really good light. There was three of us, there was four of us all together that did the show. But there is such, you will identify with someone in this series. It's really good. And, you know, because of COVID, I haven't been able to kind of piggyback off that sort of thing and do some comedy acts around town. But, you know, I just think the more we keep creating and the more we kind of do things and, you know, collaborate with people that, I've got same sort of ideologies and beliefs and all the rest of it. I think it's, you know, like we are the majority. The people on the planet are the majority. Mm-hmm. The people that are not serving the people on the planet are the minority.
Correct.
The minority right now, just to shift sands.
Yep.
Yeah. It's a changing of the guard.
It is, isn't it? And alcohol is a huge issue and people don't realise that it's an addiction. They just don't get it. It's like smoking. They don't think it's an addiction. And I know this because I was a smoker. So I know exactly how hard it was to give up smoking. And I wasn't a big smoker either. I had three goes at it. And in the end, my sister and I said, right, let's just do it. We'll do it cold turkey. Smartest thing we ever did, cold turkey. And relied on our innate discipline. but it wasn't until I was out of it that I realised what a ridiculous addiction it was, that I just couldn't see it. And that... alcohol, it's real scary.
I mean, alcohol is one of those things you go down to get a litre of milk in the morning to put in a cup of tea and you come back with a six pack.
Yeah. I know when I was young, we used to, you know, this is our bush driving days, we used to actually, you know, measure 100 kilometres in terms of how much you could drink, how many six packs that would take to drive 100 kilometres. And we had 40, what we call 40 pounders bottles of rum in those days, you know, the 1130, I think it is now. Metric. Anyway, you know, a 40 pounder in those days up in the Gulf, you would buy the whole bottle on the bar and that would sit there next to you, just like the cowboy movies of long ago. But it was fair dinkum. I lived in that era. You had your 40 pounder on the bar and you just bought your Coke.
Yeah.
Big drinking, massive drinking. And, I'm surprised at how well I drove while I was drunk.
I mean, we grew up, same thing. We grew up in the days we were in the back of the car. Mum and Dad just chucked us in the back of the car while they drove home from a party where they probably had.
Yeah.
It was just normal. Didn't even have a seatbelt. Just chucked you in the back of the car. Go to sleep, kid. Shut up.
That's right. So it's nothing for us to be proud of either, is it? But that's how the life was and that's what we've evolved from, and that binge drinking era. And when our kids left home, you know, every other kid was going on some party to the Gold Coast and ours went into a pub to work, and they had to be a barmaid or a barman, and they had to know and understand what was going on in a bar, and they had to know and understand what drunks were like before they were allowed anywhere. And literally the day they finished school, they worked in a pub, both of them, and we were both really firm about that. And they'll thank us for it to this day because they learned so much about reading people.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
We are going to run out of time really shortly, Dee. So let me tell our viewers and our listeners how to find you, because I know they're going to be really interested in tracking you down. So number one, you can find this lovely lady on www.dfaith.com, DEEFAITH, dfaith.com. And the midday show, midi, I keep saying midday, www.themidi, MIDDY show.com. And if you want to send the beautiful D an email, and I know everyone will flood your system, it's chat@dfaith.com. Now, would you like to add some more goodies there, some more information?
Well, they're the best places to get me. I'm really approachable. I'm really accessible. If you've got Facebook, I'm still on Facebook at this point, or Instagram, you can just PM me, dfaith. You can find me. I'm dfaith author on Instagram. I've got a MIDI show, the MIDI show on Instagram as well. I'm actually looking for someone to do some social media for me because, you know, I'm born in 73, so I'm not as good as you younger guys, but, you know, you do what you can, but I'm just reach out, say good day. Everyone's got a story, always interested in the story. We're currently doing something, a pilot for a TV show at the moment as well, which has got a lot of interest that we're trying to formulate. So, you know, just reach out. There's always something around the corner with us. You never know what's going to happen.
That's good. I love the sound of that. Unpredictable. Yeah, absolutely. Unpredictable.
Keep you on your toes.
Keep you on your toes, totally. So that's ddfaith.com, and you'll be able to find D on the internet. Now, we're going to have to wrap up really shortly. So, D, I just love having you on board. Can't wait for you to come back again. The Unfiltered. I love the title. I don't even think I shared it because I was so worried you weren't going to come on board. Where's she gone? She's still drinking her cuppa.
Oh, see, the thing is, because we're an hour ahead of you, we're in daylight savings time. So that's, I was ready an hour ago.
Sorry about that. No, so this is the second instalment. So we'll have to have you on board for the third instalment, won't we?
Thanks, Tracy.
Yeah. All right. So listeners, thanks for coming on board and listening to us today. You can find out all about us on bbsradio.com/Tracy Tully Talks and drop us a line, or you can find Dee on her website or myself on www.tracytully.com. Larger than life we are, us women. Thank you for listening to our 60 minutes of inspiring topics, and they are, weren't they? Really inspiring, Dee. Thank you for listening with us today, and we wish you all the very best, and especially over there in America, since you're in election time, we know that you're very patient and you're waiting very patiently for those results, and the rest of the world is too. And all the best. I hope you get what you want there, but not always do we. So for the rest of our listeners across Australia and internationally, all the very best. If you're in the Philippines, our thoughts are with you with the typhoons, and hope that you're on dry land now. So thank you, Dee. Thanks for coming along and joining us. And we're going to sign off pretty well now, I'd say. So cheers.
Thanks, Tracy.
Bye. Thanks for listening to another 60 minutes of inspiring talking points on Tracy Tully Talks, brought to you by bbsradio.com. Tune in every Thursday morning at 10 a.m. Australian time, AEST, and 5 p.m. PT time in America. Leave me a message on my website at www.bbsradio.com/Tracy Tully Talks. If you're interested in lifting the profile, presence, and profit of your business, sponsorship opportunities are available. Until next Thursday, it's goodbye from me.